Let us remember the book, The Cloud of Unknowing. What is it? It is, here beginneth the book of contemplation, the which is called the cloud of unknowing. And what happens in this cloud of unknowing? The, in which the soul is one with God. So, that is how this book, the purpose of the study of this book is to feel our essential oneness with God and then merge in it. The names and forms alone separate us from God. We are God. But because of the names and forms, we lose our identity with God and get identified with the shapes and the names given to corresponding shapes. So, that is the cause of our bondage and consequent suffering. And this scripture, this book, takes up the work, that it gives us the work to contemplate. Contemplate means seek the inner reality, and not just get caught in the superficial appearance, but catch the inner reality. It is like this, that we are having animal crackers, and the shapes are there, and accordingly the names also are given, like this is a camel, and this is a lion, and this is a rabbit. But if you contemplate, means look a little deeper, the children, they are concentrating on names and forms. So they say, "Oh, mommy, I want to eat camel," or "I want to eat a rabbit." Now, there is really no distinction between camel and rabbit if you go a little deep. And so, if you can eat camel, you can eat rabbit, and yet you can be vegetarian. There is no camel, no rabbit, nothing there. So it is, these are the names and forms. So also in this whole universe that we see, I, you, these, that, this hall, this city, these different people, some I like, some I don't like. It is because of our childish thinking that these are different. These are different only in names and forms. Essentially, they are one with God. They are God. And when we realize it, what happens? All craving is gone. It is the desire for different forms. When you realize you are that, now that desire goes away, and the feeling of limitation, bondage, that also goes away. I am everything. I am perfect because God is perfect and I am God essentially. The imperfection was because of my false identification with names and forms. But when I raise my awareness beyond this childish awareness, Kathopanishad calls it childish awareness. Para chakama nanuyanti balaha tair mrityoyanti vitatasya pasham atadhira amritatvam viditva nadruvam adhruveshu iha prarthayante. So it is the balaha, childish people, they alone seek the pleasures from the different names and forms outside, which come and go. They have no really a substance in them. The substance is same. So shifting the attention, shifting the awareness from name and form to substance, that is the task, and that is spiritual practice. To go deeper from the outer appearance to inner content, that is spiritual life. So, when we contemplate, that is the meaning of it. And in that book of contemplation, when the contemplation goes deep, what happens? You are one with God. So let us begin and with our prayers. So, this book has prayers. So, God, unto Him all hearts be open, and unto whom all will speak it, and unto whom no privy thing is hid, I beseech thee so for to cleanse the intent of my heart with the unspeakable gift of thy grace, that I may perfectly love thee and worthily praise thee. Amen. In this mystic tradition studies that we take up every summer, we take up one mystic tradition and try to see that it is the purpose of it, because many ask question, why should we be studying in Vedanta Society all these different things? Why not just study a book of core Vedanta like Bhagavad Gita or some Upanishad, or maybe the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna? So why we need to study all these disciplines? And the answer is given by Swami Vivekananda himself, that the study of comparative religion and study of mysticism, it reinforces, strengthens our understanding of our own tradition. I don't want to go into the details of it, but that is the reason that we should study, even though we are not exactly following that tradition. But its understanding and the deep love for God that it expresses helps us to see the common platform, the essential fact of what we call as religion. The unessential things keep on changing, like the different rituals. 5,000 years ago, the Hindus used to practice some kind of rituals. Now most of them, they don't. 5,000 years ago, Hindus used to put on certain kind of clothing. Now they don't follow that. In fact, even the clothing that they follow in some part of India are not followed here. One lady called me, Swami, I am an American but I am interested in studying Hinduism. Can I come to your classes here? And I said, most welcome, do come. And then she said, but Swami, I don't have a sari. As if that is the essential part of religion. That is how the things get confused. And study of other traditions help us to follow, to understand what is the essential part of my tradition. That if you take, for example, not eating meat on Fridays as the essential aspect of Catholic religion, then you will be misled by that. That is not the essential aspect of it. How do you know? Because there are many other equally good spiritual traditions where they do not follow this restriction, and yet they are very good. So the essential part in all different traditions are same. The peripheral parts, the unessentials, they alone differ. And so to find out the essential part of my religion too. It helps me to study the mystic aspects of various different religions, which becomes very useful in that sense. Now, what we had been studying earlier in this book last time, that it is the active types and the contemplative types that was being discussed, active types and contemplative types. And it was thought, the examples were given of Martha and Mary in the New Testament. In the Bible, you see Martha and Mary. In that, the story is very, very illuminating story, and also illustrates the different types and also the gradation, and that the spiritual life is an evolutionary process. Means we, whatever level one may be, from there one can evolve gradually to the highest understanding. And the highest level, it is the it is so the different levels really are not the contradictory, and each person has to travel. So the active will people, they will criticize the contemplative people that, hey, I don't understand, what is this meditation, just sitting like that. If you do some good work in the society, I can understand that. Okay, yeah, something good is being done. There is, you are building school for people to study, or you are doing something philanthropic work. That I can understand. But this meditation, just sitting and doing nothing, it is, that's waste of time, waste of energy, and so therefore they criticize such people, just who sit quiet, and also want that such people also should be put to work. There is that funny well-known joke that a person used to sit like that on a beach meditating, and some young active people thought that what is this fellow is just wasting his time, and we should teach him a good lesson, let us talk to him. And they, hey, what are you doing here? I am just sitting here and meditating. What does it give you, it is, why don't you work, do some work? And he said, okay, suppose I do work, what do I get by that? Well, you will be able to get lot of money. Suppose I get lot of money, what do I get by that? Well, then you will be able to buy a big house, you will be having so many other things, and you will be a very wealthy person. So, you can have all your desires fulfilled. So that is what? Okay, suppose I do that, what do I get? Well, then you will be living peacefully. Well, that was what I had been doing. It was you who were disturbed, not me. So it is, the active people don't get it. But the problem is also with the contemplative people, that danger should be kept in mind. The contemplative people also should never go to criticize the active people. Well, they are on their evolutionary track. Like the child doesn't understand many things, that why people are worried about it, reads about the peace in the world and all that. According to the child, the best way to bring peace in the world is to distribute plenty of candies. And that should take care of it. Why other people are so many worried? They call themselves grown-ups, but don't understand this simple idea. So it is like that. But the child grows and then understands things differently. So also a spiritually child person, a spiritual the age is also to be counted, like they count some person like mentally having some problems, so the growth is not that right. So they say that although physically he is 20 years old, the intellectual age is only 8 years. So that is similarly spiritual age of many of us. We may be grown up physically, mentally, but there is a spiritual age. Spiritual growth begins gradually. It enhances. Gradually you start understanding things in a different light. So what is desired during a very early stage of spiritual growth is not then wanted when you grow spiritually more. So this is how the contemplative should also understand that it is not right that the active type should not be criticized by contemplative types. They should be respected, for they too are lovers of God as they understand. As they understand. The understanding differs. As you understand, so you love that. And therefore, those who are contemplative should never go to criticize something and take problem. Okay, the battery maybe, but it seems that this is not operating. Okay. So the contemplatives should also see that it is they should merge in contemplation. If they are really contemplatives, why should they bother their heads and not, they are not doing like this, they criticize me, and they need not worry about it. And they should merge so much in contemplation that they should be just that they pay no attention to what people are saying about them. And this is a practice that needs to be undertaken, because we become so conscious of what other people say about us, and thus we forget that our goal is not that. We need not worry about what other people are saying. The attention gets drawn. Yes, we start, what was he talking about me? Even if two other people are talking not related to you, you want to hear, is it about me? And we are very conscious about what is being spoken of me. So if somebody is criticizing me, I get upset. Somebody is, my name is involved, then I get upset. That is how this technique I use to wake a person while listening to the lecture. If the person is dozing off and sleeping, then I say, hey, what do you think? I take the name. Jolly, what's your idea? Okay, so it is, that person wakes up. Why? We are very attentive about ourselves. So if somebody is criticizing me, then I get upset. What right that person has to criticize me? And then you start finding out many existent or non-existent drawbacks of that person.
and so forth. But this is not your job at all. Let that person criticize you. Why you should be worried about it? No, no, that person doesn't understand properly. Okay, it is not your job to make that person understand that. If that person doesn't understand properly, it is that person's loss, not yours. Do not worry about it. It is so. Here, let us read from the book. It says, "It seems to me, therefore, that those who undertake to be contemplatives should not only forgive active men their complaining words, but they should also be so occupied in spirit that they should pay little or no attention at all to what men say about them or what they do." That was what Mary, who is example for all of us, did when Martha, her sister, complained to the Lord. This is, I think most of you know the story of Martha and Mary, that Jesus goes to their home and with so many devotees, and Martha therefore immediately jumps to action to welcome them, to show good hospitality to all those who have come. And her sister Mary, she is just sitting near Jesus and immersed in love for Jesus. She is not conscious of what works are going on and who are there. She is fully immersed in the love of Jesus. And then naturally that the other sister feels the pinch, that why should I be doing all the work myself? Should my sister not work also? It's unfair that she gets to be with Jesus all the time and I spend my time in kitchen here, there, doing all work. So she complains to Jesus and tells that, let Jesus remind her, tell her that she should go and work with her sister instead of just idly sitting here like this. But Jesus knew and said that, well, you Martha, you are busy with many things. Mary, she is busy with just one thing. That is contemplative. Names and forms are many. The substance is one. So God is one in all as the true substance in all names and forms. The attention on names and forms means attention on many. And then there is no attention just running from one to next. Concentration will be on one something. And the love really can be on one something. It is not that humorous story that one man was just looking in the, that gift stores that to buy some nice wish cards. So he saw some and then he liked one. It was written there, "To the only one I love. To the only one I love." And he said, "Give me a dozen of them." So it is. It is like that. It is. See, we love different things. Our attention is at one thing, and then next time we again get attracted to another thing. And we keep on rushing from pillar to post, from taking this toy, like children. You will take this toy and play with it for, say, 10 seconds and then drop it, pick another toy. So, because if we are after many, there is no end to it and there is no substance in many, and the substance is God in that oneness. So, and Mary is contemplative, that is the meaning of being contemplative. So she is even not considering what my sister is telling about me, or didn't get into an argument with sister. No, if you want, you can do the work. I am not going to do it, and no argument at all. He was absorbed in this one, with Jesus. So that is how a person trying to pursue the contemplative life should do, to get into that mode where there will be no distraction towards other things in life. So now this state doesn't come automatically. A person who is in active life, good, like Martha, was good. Martha was not doing anything wrong. Martha was very good. But then she evolves from there to see the one. There is the people who are busy with many, there is a classification in them. Busy with many in a good way and in a bad way. Busy with many to snatch things from others, to kill others, to try to, you know, add to the agony of other people. That is one way of becoming busy with many. There is this other way, to serve others, to do good things, and to think of God in that way. So, I am working for God, and so forth. So, this is a good way of active kind. They are active, like, okay, that the church, we need to do a lot of work, come on, let's bring into action all these things, and there so many people are there, so let us do some good cooking, a lot of cleaning needs to be done, let's come. This is all good work and God's work, but it is the active kind of life. The active life and then merges into contemplative life. And we had seen that earlier, how the higher part of active life is more or less similar, or it has overlap with the lower part of contemplative life. That the lower part of contemplative life is working, but with the awareness of God, that yes, God is real, and that is the goal of life, to realize God. And so, I am doing the service to God, in this way I am getting connected to God. So this is a higher level of active life. It is active life, but not active to accumulate the worldly things, but trying to get connected to God. And then this merges into the higher level of contemplative life. So, it is an evolutionary process that we must realize that it is. So, the two sisters, Mary and Martha, Martha representing the active person and Mary the contemplative one. Without one of these two lives, no one may have salvation. And when, where there are no more than two, and none may choose the best. It is the, and here comes the discussion, you know. He says, look, when you say best, and that means it is, there is good, better, best. So there is this process, you know, the active lower, then the active higher,
extremely contemplative. So, you begin as with work, and then it develops, and then you get connected. You try to see how this work can connect to God, and which is called actually yoga, the karma yoga, yoga of action. The action becomes then, and gradually a part of meditation. So it is, it's like the lower step. It leads you to the next higher step. So good leads you to better, and the better leads you to the best, that is contemplative life, where one just concentrates on God and God alone. There is no consideration present at all about making the world better, making the world a nice place, making world very peaceful. All those ideas, they take back seat there, because world is not real. What does it mean if something is not real? To make it nice unreal, or the good unreal, it is unreal, you see. It doesn't like a fake dollar bill. What does it matter if it is a $20 fake bill or a $100 fake bill? It is a fake bill, that's it. So, the contemplative sees these names and forms. They are just appearances. There is no point in running after them. So, therefore, that such a person does not bother about the so-called world. Shankaracharya in Viveka Chudamani, therefore, says, Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma Natu Vastupalabdhaye. This action is for purification of heart, not for realizing God. Action cannot take you to God directly, but action can purify your mind if done correctly. If done in the right way, then the action purifies you, and thus now in that purified mind, that cleansed mind, chittasya shuddhi, when the chitta, the mind is clean, now the God in the mind becomes visible. It is, that is the job of karma, the work. So, work is useful for that. So, here also it is said the same thing, that work, yes, work has a place. If done properly, it leads us to the higher level. But it is to be done in that spirit. And then, it says, if we are loving God and trusting God, it is, then a problem comes to the mind of a person, that I need so many things for subsistence. I need to earn money for that. I need to earn my livelihood. I have to run to so many things. Who is going to give me? How can I get this? And so, I have to work. A contemplative person trusts God, that it is, after all, everybody is being given by God. And so, I will get whatever is needed for me. God will give me that. In the Sermon on the Mount, therefore it is said that you people, you are not perfect at all, still you understand what are the needs of your children and give them to your children. Will God, your Father in Heaven, will not be able to see this and give children the right things? That God will give you all the necessary things. This trust is very much needed for a contemplative person. Without this, the mind will not get concentrated on God. It
concentrated on, say, I have to go to grocery shop, I have to now do my work so that I will get my paycheck. It is all that is the thinking of a person who trusts not God, but one's endeavor, and feels that God is there maybe. But actually I do everything, just repeat the name of God as a formality. That story of a farmer and a priest, that is, the priest wanted to, you know, bring everybody to the church. So a farmer was not coming at all, so he went to talk to the farmer. He decided that as a priest it is my job, my duty, to bring everybody to God. So he goes to the farmer and starts telling that, wow, God and you have done such wonderful work with tomatoes. Look at these tomatoes, wonderful. And look at the chicken, again here to God and you, you have done marvels. And so he kept on praising, and the farmer got annoyed and said, hey, father, you should have come and seen this place when it was all for God alone. 4 years ago, it was all for God to do alone. I was not involved. So we don't accept that the God does anything. But the devotee shifts all attention that and believes that as it is told in Bhagavad Gita, that that those who love me, those who worship me, that desham ityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham, that those who are connected with me all the time, those who devote everything to me, I provide for their worldly needs. They don't have to worry about it. It is that this is the attitude of devotee, that I will get provided for. Not that the devotee will not do work, but will always be convinced that it is God who provides. It is not my work that provides, but it is God that provides. It is an awareness that gets cultivated through spiritual practice when we come to see that God is real. He is the provider. That's it. He is managing everything. So you don't have to go on begging to the others. You go to God directly if you have that connection. It is this morning, just before the retreat was done, the children's camp was just beginning. And a little girl, that Meera, she's very young. So the little older kids, they were not including her in their circle, and she came crying straight to me, and said, look, there is the abundance fun there in that circle. There is abundance fun, but I am not being taken in that circle of fun. So she complained that, and then I took her the lecture. But what other person remarked there, that she came right to the boss. Instead of telling it to somebody, she came straight to the boss, because there she saw that the problem is solved. She has the connection. So she did not spend time with this person, that person, straightway came and asked. So that is when you have connection with God and you know that God does everything. If I hold on to God, I'll get everything. why you are worried about? It is that in the, again, that is part of Kathopanishad, that a little boy, Nachiketa, was telling, instead of this boon about self-knowledge, why don't you ask other things? I can give you as much life as you want. I can give you. And Nachiketa said, well, since I know you, all these things are part of it. I don't need to ask for those. We got it since you are, I am connected to you. All that you have is mine anyway. So it is, I can get it any time. If I need, I'll get it. I don't have to ask it as a boon. So a devotee sees that if I am connected to God, that trust is there, you know, that God alone is giver. Nobody else. Like that story comes to my mind again and again, that we had a cook at our ashrama in Nagpur. He was more or less illiterate, was a good cook, but then as he was getting old, he decided to give up the job. And I asked just like that, okay, you were going to retire? See, I am getting old now, if let me retire with honor. Otherwise, tomorrow you are going to kick me out. So I am not able to do much work now. So let me retire with honor. And then I asked, it was very early, I had recently joined the monastery, and I asked that, well, do you have arrangement at your village, and you can you get food? How, who is going to make arrangement for your food and all that? And he sensed, that illiterate cook, he sensed a sense of ego in my asking this. And he said, look, you know, the one who was giving for so many days will continue to give. God, who had been giving for so many days, will continue to give. And the day God decides not to give, who has the power to give? A very important eye-opener, you know, that it is, see, if God decides not to give, who has power to give? Nobody can give. So, this person, a devotee, is convinced, has the full trust. So, trust steadfastly you, whoever you may be, who sincerely turns from the world to God, that God will send you either one of these two without troubling you about it. That is the either an abundance of necessities or sufficient strength of body and patience of spirit to bear your needs. So either of them, that God will send you the food to satisfy your hunger, or God will send you the strength to withstand the hunger. Either of them God will send you, depending on what you need at that time. God understands your need more than we understand. It is we think we understand ourselves. What do we understand? Very little, if, and that too mostly misunderstanding. So it is, but if we rely on God, that is to be one of the important spiritual practice, that reliance on God, God will take care. Who has been taking care? Only God is taking care of everything. If you look into your life back, whatever as many years you have spent living, and if you look back, you can see that many such things had been arranged in your life, you did not consciously did anything of it. But if that thing had not been arranged at that time by God, how difficult or how different the things would have been for you. Everybody's life is full of such stories. I was going suddenly like that, and I met a person somehow. And then that person really opened up all these things for me. And then, after a while, I don't know where that fellow went. We don't have any connection. But it was the opening that in my life that fellow brought. It is everybody has so many, incidents if we remember. And isn't it the hand of God that is doing it for us? We attribute this, because I did it at that time, because I took the right steps, because I did the right investments, my life is, so good. It is, what did you do? It is all the doing of God. So, as a spiritual, a contemplative person, therefore, trust firmly in God. Then, he keeps on in this couple of chapters that we should therefore intensify our longing, our love for God, that it is. And then as we progress, one important thing happens, that we start loving people, loving everything around, and not directly but through God. That it is, the love of names and forms has given that way to the love to God. And then since God is in everyone, now you love everyone because of the God in everyone. Like the same example, you can take the animal crackers. You never really loved the name and form. What did you love? If that same name and form is made of stone, would you have eaten it? No. You don't eat those things because that name and form is filled with that substance, that sweet thing, and then you eat it. And so similarly, a person understands God as the essence of love. And God is the essence of love. And thus, what happens? That everybody is lovable because God is in everyone. And so, such a person has no separate considerations for friend or foe, that I will love friend, I will hate foes. No. That is the idea in those who do not love God. That is why, read that passage from the Sermon on the Mount, a great passage, a big transition, a spiritual leap, one can say, that Jesus says, you had heard, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, golden rule, that passes by the golden rule, that if somebody has hurt your eye, you hurt that person's eye, and do not kill that person. That person did not kill you, and just means commensurate punishment should be there, that if you are wrong to this extent, okay, that person should be wrong to that extent. So there is, let there be, this appears to be the principle of justice, that yes, somebody has done wrong, to the extent that person has done wrong, that person should be given punishment, and that person should be hated for that. If eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, and then wise people therefore say, it won't take too long to for the whole world to become blind and toothless. So it is, if you go take it literally, that okay, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, the whole world will become blind soon. Jesus says that you heard this. This has been taught since childhood, that oh, you love your friends, hate your enemies. But I tell unto you, love your enemies. What a spiritual leap it is. See, and from love your friends and hate your enemies, we and they, we form gangs like that, us and them. Us are always good, you know. Us are always good. Like our, in the, especially in the charged political atmosphere in elections, it is we and they. That we are always good. One of our devotees can never, simple, she is very simple in these matters, very clear cut. That people from her party can do never wrong. And the people of the opposite party can do never anything right. So it is, yes. So it is friends and foes, you see. So it is for a person with this God in everyone, things become different. That no special friend, no foe. Love is through God, because God is in everyone, everyone is loved accordingly. So it is the real source of love also lies there. So then this is a hard work to pierce this cloud of unknowing. And one has to continue this work without bothering about other things, because this work is going to take all your energy. And so spend all time and energy in doing this work. And if you do not do that, then it will not get done. So a person at this level sees, like Sri Ramakrishna, the great example, that God realization is the goal of life. And we read it glibly, we talk also about it, God realization is the goal of life. We do not understand the meaning of these words. If God realization is the goal, then every action, every thought should be directed in achieving it. Goal, you know, like in soccer, there are goal posts, you know, the goal. So, every kick that you hit is directly or indirectly meant to take the ball into that goal post. That is how you are doing it. So, it is, so every action should have a connection with this. So this work, and it is to be tirelessly undertaken, that high cloud of unknowing. This is the cloud of unknowing, is that which is between you and God, what is called in Vedanta philosophy as Maya. So that is to be undertaken. And he says, first and foremost, I will tell you, who should take part in this work? This work cannot be done by everyone. It is at this stage that one, all those who have forsaken the world with a true will. That is, when you have understood that world means wrong direction, God is the right direction. So once you understand, it is very similar to if you are driving somewhere and then you suspect that, well, all the landmarks that I was told will fall on the way, not getting, and then you stop and ask somebody and learn that you were driving in the opposite direction, then what do? And you stop going in that direction, start driving in the right direction. So that is when one sees that this world, it is bondage, and it is the source of all unhappiness, that all sufferings are going to come. So you want now to change the direction. So once you want to change the direction now, do not hesitate, follow the right track. So this is what is called renunciation, and giving, driving in the wrong direction and start driving in the right direction. It is not like becoming a monk or a householder. And that is, you can become a monk and still will not be in spirit renouncing the world. And you may be a householder, but yet would have renounced the world. So it is the renunciation. That is how it is told here, that if you ask me who shall work in this, I answer, all who have forsaken the world with true will and who give up themselves not to the active life but to what is called the contemplative life. So they alone are to undertake this work. So we shall stop this study for today here. Any questions? Yes. Oh, okay. See, all that is impermanent appears to be real because of there is something that is permanent that is appearing like that. It is like you are seeing a movie. So the pictures are not permanent. You see, they are moving all the time. But why can they be seen? Because there is the screen that is permanent. So consciousness is like that, that all the ego vibrations, mental vibrations, all the different pictures, they come and go on this screen of consciousness. And so that is real, but not in the sense of these things we call real. This movie screen is not real, as the objects on the screen are called real. It is the reality of all objects, all pictures. So, therefore this doubt is very valid, that why this consciousness should be considered as real. And moreover, we are good at logic. So, we even say that if the names, forms, they are unreal, then what is in that name and form, that also should be unreal. How can that be real? So, the answer to that is that the level of reality is different there. The names and forms, it is impermanent. We can see that. But that which is giving you the sense of time, sense of change, that is beyond the change, and therefore it is permanent. So that is how the consciousness, this world as understood in the Indian philosophy is different from how it is understood in Western philosophy. In Western philosophy, consciousness is always understood as, traditionally speaking, consciousness of something. And so that is permanent, that is impermanent. One has to be conscious of something. So, consciousness in itself is not a concept in the Western philosophy. Therefore, to distinguish from it, the early teachers of Vedanta, they had to use some other words, like Swami Vivekananda used pure consciousness, to distinguish it from these changing consciousness, the consciousness of A, consciousness of B, consciousness of flower, and so forth. So, that which forms the background of all these impermanent consciousnesses. So, let us conclude. Oh, you have a question, Ananda? Oh, okay, that is why the question, otherwise the class is not necessary anyway. Actually, we some classes previous we discussed this, so I didn't spend time on this. But he states here very explicitly that the higher part of active life and the lower part of contemplative life, to a great extent, they overlap. Yeah. They are not saying they overlap. Yeah. Now you can. Overlap means for a great extent they are same, but it is, see, this is not, the lines cannot be very well defined, that it is, here it is active, here it is lower contemplative, again lower means you can ask how lower and how higher, so it is, you have to just understand it as in principle. So let us conclude with the closing prayers, and just to remind you that there will be a day, almost a long retreat in Connecticut, Vedanta Society of Connecticut, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 or 5. So many are going from here. And there will be some carpooling. So those who would like to go for that retreat, please give your names so that we can arrange the carpooling properly. Of course, Richard lives in Connecticut, very close to that place. So, so please let us know, because many have told us that they want to go. But we still do not exactly know. So please give your names, either to me, you can email or call, and then we shall see how we can arrange for that. Om Shanti 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 Di Hari Om Tat Sat Shri